Now what I want to do is make a tough transition to another somber note. And that is the news that I got now 2 days ago that one of my favorite guests ever, one of my favorite people ever, you know, that I've ever met in my life, Ronald Mann, who was an amputee, who actually he lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. And it was his left leg, lost his left leg in a motorcycle accident. And he was also a former United States Army emergency room medic who ended up finding a release and finding, you know, what he deemed to be his calling in the world of mixed martial arts. And he was just 24 when, you know, during some off-duty time while serving, when he had this motorcycle accident that really changed his life. And again, to help cope with the loss, Ronald returned to martial arts for recovery, ultimately starting a new career. And we had Ronald on multiple times. And I think the last time we had Ronald on was, I believe, last year when he was going for, he actually won it. He was out in Japan going for I believe it was a Taekwondo championship belt. And he won it. And I remember he was in studio and he brought the belt. I took a picture with him. And, you know, just following Ronald on social media, you know, he was just one of those guys that was so spiritually in tune with himself and just, you know, beyond inspiring. And actually, when I put up today's show on our Facebook page, one of our listeners, James, commented below a picture of me and Ronald when we were saying, hey, today's current sports, I'm paying tribute to Ronald Mann, who sadly passed away over the weekend, victim of a car accident. And James, who was also an amputee, he commented below that post and said, wow, I started following him, Al, on Facebook here after your interview. And as a fellow amputee, I wanted to train with him. Sad news for sure. And there has been just an overwhelming response to this news. It just shows you just the kind of impact that Ronald Mann had on the community, on everybody that he met, really. And, you know, Ronald De Leon is the guy that, you know, he let me know who Ronald Mann was and said, Al, you got to have him on your show. And he set us up with an interview. And, you know, we just hit it off, man. We just really hit it off. And Ronald was also the guy, again, who let me know about the sad news over the weekend. So what I want to do right now, I want to roll in what is going to be at times just an eerie interview, because in this piece, Ronald also talks about life and death. And that's the part that really got me when cutting this up for you guys today. But this interview comes from when I had Ronald Mann as my guest in season 2 of Current Sports Television, season 2, episode 13. And we aired this on October 22nd of 2014 in front of a live audience. And it was just such a compelling and really riveting sit down with a man who has so many different layers. So here's a throwback interview with my chat with the late, great Ronald Mann.
You know, I didn't have insurance when I got out of the military. Like, you got insurance for 90 days. I was 92 days when I got hit, so I was wiped. They put me out of the hospital in 7 days and said, go back to your family. And for the first 30 days, I just lay there in bed, and I didn't know. I was 24. Like, I thought that was the end of my life. Like, that I was in the prime of my life. I thought I was done. My family raised enough money for me to get my first basic prosthetic. And so then I started working and training. 60 days out, I started lifting weights. 90 days out, we started searching for a gym. I was on the Army Taekwondo team, and back then, nobody would take me here. I'd gone to Michigan State's Taekwondo team. They said, no, you can't train, you can't train, you can't train. Went to Julian Laredo's, which is now American Martial Arts and Fitness Academy. That's my home. And they told me, yeah, you can train here, but you're going to do everything we do, or else you can go home. And that was the mentality I needed. I needed that we're not going to treat you like you're less than able. You're not any less than us. You're going to do everything we do. And that's a Jeet Kune Do philosophy. Take what works for you, put the rest away, and make it your own art.
Now, on the way to the hospital, I mean, you told me that you actually flatlined twice, right?
I flatlined twice in the chopper ride. Dougie, we were both combat medics overseas. He saved my life, and much respect and love to him. But I remember dying. I remember flatlining. I remember everything closing in. You can still hear things. It gets darker and darker and darker until finally you can't see anything. You can still hear the nurse screaming at you, and then everything goes silent. So I don't know. She brought me back twice. I don't know what's out there. That's part of Zen Buddhism. I don't really need to know. I know if I'm a good man and I do the right thing and I continue to do this, I'll go to a good spot.
Well, you are certainly in a good spot right now, Ronald. On a more positive note now. I mean, when you went through that whole ordeal, I remember you and I talking and you said that you went through a deep period of depression.
Yeah.
How did you lift yourself out of that and what gave you hope?
It was the first 30 days was brutal. Like, I mean, there was nobody else out there. I looked online. I couldn't find any other athletes. I couldn't find anybody who was a martial artist. And martial arts has always been my rock. Like, that's always what I clung to. And I remember at 30 days, I had a gun on a table. And I was at my family's house, and I had it cocked. And for something came to my head and said, no, you know, you're not going to go out like this. You're not going to go out like a punk. You're going to go out fighting. And if things go happen down the road where you pass, I mean, we all end up dying. We're all coming to that end. Life is very precious. It's only for this moment right now. I wasn't going to waste that opportunity. So I started getting back up and fighting. I had to have my friends bring weights to me in the gym because I couldn't carry them. Started getting physically stronger. I found a prosthetist who built my leg. Larry Lloyd, he's not with us anymore, but he was the first one that said, I can do anything I want. Mm-hmm. Other prosthetists are like, well, you could walk again, or you could bowl. I was like, I want to fight. Well, I don't know about all that. And then eventually I ended up with Jan Stokoza, Stokoza Prosthetics and Okemos, and he has been my Sufu, my teacher, my brother, my guidance. He was on the 1972 Olympic judo team, mm-hmm. and blew his knee out. So we have very similar paths, and he's guided me along my journey as a martial artist and as a fighter. He's cornered me. He's always been there for me. He makes this leg that I walk on, he designed this. No, everybody told me I couldn't have a suction system. My leg was too short. It was too short of an amputation. Mm-hmm. This leg right here, he was the first one to design something like this for fighting, to where it's got the wedge system. Because when I kick, the foot rotates outward. This wedge system keeps it locked solid.
Right, right. And that's the leg you use to fight with.
This is the leg that I go in the cage with. This is what I train with every day with. This last fight when you saw me, that's what I fought with. We padded up safely to make it safe for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I'm the first one. This is a sport. I'm not out there to harm anybody unreasonably. We do get harmed, but it's not because of this. It's because of my skill as a martial artist. That's what I do.
Definitely, definitely. And when, you know, when you first got this leg, I mean, when it entered the ring, I mean, your first fight is something that my jaw was on the floor when I heard this story. Can you talk about your first fight? Because your opponent really had no idea.
Well, I was banned out of Michigan for a long time. They wouldn't let me fight in Michigan. So we'd go down to Chicago, we'd go to Fort Wayne, we went out to Iowa. My first kickboxing match, they asked 2 years after I started training, they asked me if I wanted to fight. We went down to Chicago for a kickboxing match, and they told me, no, I don't think so. So we snuck in. Didn't tell anybody that I was an amputee. I wore long pants, weighed in with long pants on. You know, you're supposed to strip, but I was at weight, so I just wore long pants. Mm-hmm. When I was warming them up, I had my teammates around me to get, you know, so nobody could tell. Got my leg in. We fought the first round. First round banged real hard. Second round, near the last 30 seconds of the second round, couple jabs, threw an axe kick, which comes up and comes straight across his face. He leaned back, but dropped his hands, cranked him, starched him, and complete knockout. And that was my first realization that I'm equal. I'm just as good as, I just knocked that man out cold in combat with no adaptive rules. So I'm jumping around the ring. I'm so excited. I go to the center of the ring, and I take my leg out. I pull it out, raised above my head, and the entire arena just goes silent because they didn't know. Nobody knew. The judges didn't know. The ref didn't know. My opponent didn't know. And then it was just an explosion. People understood. It was like, oh, my God, this guy just did this. He just did this.
Yeah.
And from then on, it's still been a battle. Like, some people will fight me. They want adaptive rules. I don't do any of that. To me, we're, like I said, I'm a fighter. I've overcome my disability. The prosthetics are so good, it's a mental thing. If you want something bad enough in life, we all have our cross to bear. We all have strengths and weaknesses, but if you want something bad enough, you'll get it. Prosthetics let me do that.
And in a way, Ronald, I mean, you and I talked, and you said that it's kind of tough to find fighters who are willing to fight you, because when they hear about your disability, they say, okay, well, I don't know if I want to go in the ring. I mean, how tough is that? And that's, in a way, that's got to be, you take it as disrespect, right?
It is. It's really disrespectful to me. I'm 16-2. You know, I've fought able-bodied guys. I've never injured anybody with my leg. You know, it's a sport. We're not there in rage. It's not a bar fight. We're not there as rage. We train the same. We discipline ourselves the same. Most of us meditate, follow that same emotional path. Martial arts strengthens the body, creates a human body that's near perfection. Look at Bruce Lee's body, near perfection. But it also is an emotional journey. It brings you to a higher level. It teaches you respect, discipline, humility, things like that. I mean, it makes you a better person inside. It's not just, we have to win. You can lose with honor. Mm-hmm. And that's what's different about the martial arts.
That is so true, Ron. I think that, give it up for that, guys. I think that is a very, very inspirational message. Now, you know, when looking at your journey, something that really stands out, I feel like every time I go on social media, I mean, I'm seeing something new on your Facebook page. Yeah. You actually embark on so many motivational speaking endeavors and mentorship endeavors. I mean, why is that so near and dear to your heart, Ronald?
This is part of who I am. It's what I do. This last weekend, I was out in Washington, D.C. for Kicking for Kids Who Can't. And it's a kickathon, and it raises money for children. It originally started raising them for money for children who couldn't afford prosthetics. Think about that. In America, children can't afford prosthetics? It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
That's insane. Of course I'll take a punch for a kid any day. Now they've transferred to ACA, Amputee Coalition of America, and they send these kids who have these prosthetics now to adaptive camps. This is the first time kids can be away from their parents and just be kids. You know, if you've got a quad amputee, they have to have round-the-care clock. ACA and Kicking for Kids Who Can't send these children to camps. They do horseback riding, zip line, rock climbing. Like, they're just kids. And, like, I get to see these little monsters grow up year after year, and they're like my ninjas in training. I love them, man. I love them. Gina Goodnow, she brings me out. She's the one that first founded it. She's my crew to the heart. I love that woman.
Right. And you actually had an opportunity to fight in Ryan DeLeon's most recent fighting event and turn it down, of course, to go out there and mentor the kids, right?
July 19th, I fought for him. He's always treated me with a lot of respect, like, always as a fighter. He's never put adaptive rules on me. He's never even asked me about adaptive rules. He's like, you're a man, you're a fighter, you want to step in a fight, we'll find you a fighter. And we've always found guys that are willing to step up and fight me. Jason Lutton fought me last time. He's out of Detroit, Iraq, Afghanistan veteran. Bang, that boy can hit.
Right.
But I ended up taking him down, put him in a head and arm choke, put him out completely. By the time the ref pulled me off of him, he was out. We're good friends. We get up after the match, hug each other. When he comes to Lansing, he trains at my gym. When I go down there, he's my family. He's my crew. Like, that's the kind of respect fighters have for each other.
See, Ronald, you know, when you're in the ring and something like that happens, where you choke him out, you know, he's laying there, he's put to sleep, basically. Then you get up, and it's all, you know, it's all love.
Right.
From a fighting perspective, I mean, how are those out there watching right now and sitting on the couch, hearing this, how is that possible to get up and embrace one another after something like that?
Say Michigan State plays each other. Like, it's huge animosity. Before going in, like, I'm driven. This is what I want. But when we get done, we're still family. We're still brothers. We train the same. We eat the same. We diet the same. We focus the same. Once we get in there, when I go in, I meditate, and when I walk in, you'll see me. I'm animated now. When I walk in, and you know, like, that's it.
You're in that zone.
Game's on now. Now game's on.
Well, you hear that, Michigan and Michigan State fans, okay? Whatever happens, embrace one another. Look, right, guys? Yeah? Right? Kinda? No? They're like, nah, that ain't happening.
After the game, they'll shake hands. Not before the game, I'm not shaking your hand, but after the game, after the match, like, we get right up, we hug each other, we give much respect and love. You're talking about two men, single-body men, train the same as killers. That may be a hard word to say, but we can do things that most normal people can't, and we're trying to do it to each other. To give that respect to one each other and step in the cage with one another with very limited rules and bang, knees, elbows flying, chokes, locks, you know, to get back up and say, okay, I love you still. You're still my family. Like, that's the true elevation of self. This is a sport of kings. That's if certainly. I can do this,
yeah.
Anybody can go get groceries. They can go to work. They can. Anybody wants to play with their kids. I do this because this shows us we can do anything we want.
Certainly admirable, and it's kind of a nice segue into a quote that you live by. The quote that it's self-proclaimed by you, see that which cannot be seen, do that which cannot be done. Talk about that quote.
When I first lost my leg, I thought my life was over. I thought it was done. And then I started thinking about martial arts as my rock. This is always what I've clung to. It's always been there. My family, my crew, my martial arts, my training partners. Everybody sees the fighter. They don't see the doctors. They don't see the physiotherapist. They don't see the guys that build your leg. They don't see your teammates that are bleeding and sweating with you. It takes a whole community to get that one fighter up there for that 1 minute. I have a vision of what I want to do. Now I make it happen. What are those steps that I have to do? Do it. Like, most people are like, oh, I can't do that. It's just so hard. No, you can. You just really have to want it bad.
Ronald Mann, gone too soon. There's so many thoughts that go through my head when listening to that interview. And it was a bit eerie, right? I mean, especially when he's talking about, you know, life and death and how life is just so fragile and all we have is right now. And his message of inspiration to go after what you want and respect one another and how to love one another. What's that old saying? Sometimes the good die young, huh? I'm sure heaven certainly got an angel this past weekend.